John chapter 5, we're going to once again read these first 18 verses as we read last week. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was a Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that? Which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious study once again. We have such a privilege, such an honor that we have to come together as a family and to have you present with us as we pore over your word. I just ask that you will show us your way and will, and show us your power and your strength today. Give us your direction today. We ask a special prayer upon the Bullard family and upon Peggy's family, please, that you just will touch their hearts and show them your strength and your power. And I just ask that through this life and now this death, that they will, others, family members, will come to know you as their Savior, trust in you. Please, dear Lord, that come to pass. We just pray that through all of the things that happen through each day of our lives, that you will be honored and glorified through those things. Now, please, dear Lord, lead us now. Touch every heart that is here today to hear this message for salvation if they're lost, for the growth and comfort and strength if we're saved. And so please just teach us today. Show us your way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we were taking a look at the activities that were going on at this time, we know that it was the Feast of the Jews. Possibly the Passover was the time. And as we look at that, we understand and talked about last week we were together, that it was, we have a couple of the locations. I want you to see the geography of this. As you come through the sheep gate, and then on you come to the sheep market, and then we have the Pool of Bethesda, and beyond that is the temple. And so as we look at this, the location of things here, I want you to think about how many folks that has come in, purchased their lamb for the sacrifice, walked right by the Pool of Bethesda and right on into the temple or to offer their offering and sacrifice at the temple. And so keep that in your mind as we see these verses of Scripture. We look at them today. We find that Bethesda means house of pity or mercy. The number 5 in the Scripture stands for grace, and Jesus is our grace and our mercy and truth as he stands before all of us. And as he comes here through the sheep gate to the sheep market, right to the Pool of Bethesda, we find that he is gazing upon those that are sick and helpless and needy. And as we see the Lord Jesus looking upon these, we need to focus our eyes upon this lost and dying world. We need to see all these people that are around us that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because death is certain, death will come, and none of us are promised 94 years, as Dorothy received. Many are not promised a year. Many are not promised 5 years or 10 years or 20 or 30 years. And so we need to look upon those folks and see how sick they are, how sin sick they are. You know, we can again see when they are blind, when they're halt, or as we talked about, crippled or withered. When we see people that way, we have pity upon them. We have compassion upon them. We want to help them. We want to pick them up. We want to take their pain away from them. Well, we need, as born-again believers, with spiritual eyes, with the heart, with the Holy Spirit living within us, we need to look upon mankind being in the same condition, that they are halt and blind and withered, and they need to be healed. And the only way they can be healed, of course, is by the cross of Calvary, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must see that. As the Lord Jesus looked upon this this area around the Pool of Bethesda, he saw a multitude. And it wasn't just a multitude, it was a great multitude, the Scripture tells us, that were in this physical condition. And they were awaiting something. You know, they were awaiting the stirring of the water. Now, we're not going to spend any time. You know, we have watched through the Scripture angels be messengers of great news as the angel came to tell Mary and then come to tell Joseph, as the angel came to Zacharias to tell him that John the Baptist was going to be born, and as all these things, you know, angels came down and loosed Peter from prison. Angels came down and took the beggar that ate from the rich man's table and picked him up and took him home. And it's probably the same angels, the same messengers that came to get Dorothy, as he sends his servants. These servants, these angels, are always at his beckoning call for whatever he would have them to do. And so we see here that it speaks that an angel came and stirred the waters. Was there some special power that when one would touch the water first would be healed? Been much discussion through all the years that there was no special power there, or there was special power there. It doesn't really matter one way or the other, but we do see so many things that we watch angels do. They are messengers of many miracles, as they would come to give the words that God had presented to them. And these angels came, and they would come and give the truth always. And so we find that the water is stirred. Well, that's what the Scripture tells us here in verse 4. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture here, we see several things. We see the whosoever, we see the whatsoever, and then we also see the whensoever. And so we look at this verse 4, and I want you to see we made these 3 points last week. But the whosoever, of course, is all can be saved. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your status in the land or in the community. It doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter when you were born. Whosoever, all can be saved. Age has nothing to do with it. Nationality has nothing to do with it. Everyone, whosoever. And what a beautiful promise that is given to that. And then the next step of this verse of Scripture is, of course, the whatsoever disease he had in the end of verse 4. Whatsoever disease. There is nothing that the Spirit of God cannot deal with. There is nothing that Jesus lacked in going to the cross of Calvary when it pertains to my sin and yours. He took every sin. He didn't miss one little sin so that would not allow me to go to heaven because he forgot one. You see, his promise is true. His words are certain. And all we need to do is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that whatsoever sin we have ever committed or ever will commit, God will take away. What a beautiful promise. So we have the whosoever, no one is kept away. We have the whatsoever, there is nothing that he cannot take care of. There is not one disease that he could not heal if he would choose to. But the key here is the whensoever. The angel did not come down and did not stir the water at a certain time every day. It said at the season. Now, we don't know what that means. We don't know what that means. Did that mean that those poor, blind, impotent folks that were around this pool, does it mean that they had to just watch constantly, just to be ready, because it wasn't a certain time of the day or the month or the week or the year that the angel would come and stir that water. But whenever it was stirred, whoever stepped first into this water was healed. That's what the Scripture tells us. Now, as we look at that, so we need to understand that whosoever, the door is open to all. The whatsoever, there is nothing that God cannot forgive and allow us to be back in fellowship with him, to be saved. There's not one sin that cannot be forgiven unless it's the sin, of course, of unbelief. Because that's the only sin that's going to keep you out of heaven if you don't believe. And so then we look at the whensoever. The whensoever. Now, that's the important one. The other two is God's doing. The whensoever is also God's doing. But here is a time when you have something to do with it. You're involved in this one. Because when the Spirit of God draws you, when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart about your sin and the need of salvation, that is when you must come. Because it is God's doing and God's calling. It's not your choice. It's your choice in the respect that when he calls, you accept. But it's not upon your timetable. It's not upon your timetable. You know, Aaron's sons went into the temple to offer strange fire, the Scripture says, because they thought they could do that offering and that sacrifice whenever they wanted to. Well, they both dropped over dead because of that. And here, if somebody was come by and would pick this impotent man that we're talking about and bring him over and lay him into the pool, nothing would happen unless it was that exact time when the angel stirred the waters. Because you see, it has to have the calling. And that's where you and I come in. Because we have the most wonderful, powerful opportunity of telling this lost world about Jesus. Now, what an opportunity. He could have taken an angel and had the angel write it every day at the same time in the heavens and present who God was and how to be saved. He could have done that every day, just like he brought the manna every day for the their journey through the wilderness as Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. Could have done it every day. Could have done it every day from the beginning of time to the end of time. He could have done that. But he chose you and me, believers in Jesus Christ, to give out this great news. Now, we can be sharing, we can be giving out the gospel, but we need to understand that we cannot save one soul. The saving of the soul comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to that heart, and that Holy Spirit touches that heart, and upon that time, and that may be a period of time of months, years, I don't know. But when that time comes, please do not deny the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do not turn away from the Holy Spirit when the Spirit of God calls you, because that may be the final call. So you see, it depends on whensoever. So the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So the whosoever, the whatsoever, and the whensoever. Keep that in mind. We also need to look here. I want you to be reminded of the location again, because it is a short distance in this area. We have the sheep gate, we have the sheep market, we have the pool of Bethesda, and we have the temple. And as we see this distance between being such a short distance, isn't it sad that there was more activity going on as far as God was concerned in the pool of Bethesda than at the temple? At that time, the temple of God had gotten so corrupt by man that there was no power. There was no strength there at all. It was full of folks, but no power, no activity. It's the condition of the church today in most cases too. You go to church, and when you attend church, you think that you have done what you need to do, but there is no power there. The Holy Spirit isn't speaking to hearts, because man has come in with their own understanding of the Word of God. Sinners are always with us. Multitudes of unbelievers are awaiting to be healed. And it's up to you and I to share the gospel with them, to see their need and to share that with them. If you turn with me to John chapter 6 and the verse 44, we need to understand that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We need to take the Word of God out. As we've been studying in Romans, the fields are wide into harvest. We find this man, specifically this one man. Multitudes are laying there. People have walked by on a daily basis by the pool of Bethesda, probably only thinking to themselves, I am glad I'm not one of them. Listen to verse 5. A certain man was there which had had infirmity 38 years. I saw that 38 years, and I thought, you know, he's been awaiting someone to put him in this pool for this healing. That was his thought. That was what he wanted. And so during this 38 years, the people were in the wilderness for 38 and a half years was their journey, a total of 40 years from point to point. But about 38 and a half years, they were in the wilderness. Well, this man had waited in the wilderness here for 38 years, waiting for someone to put him into the pool. Why doesn't God always heal? Why doesn't God always heal our infirmities, our sicknesses, our diseases? God can. He is all-powerful. I am sad to say that there's a very simple answer to that. and that is in most of our lives, God gets more honor and more glory through our sickness than through our health. When we're healthy, we don't have time to serve Him. When we're sick, we call upon Him for help. So you see, in our sickness, in our diseases that we have, many times our Lord is glorified greater. Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that we have to be sick to bring the most honor and glory to our God? It's because when we're well, we find so many other things to do, and we don't find time for our Lord. This impotent man that was sick for 38 years he had been sick. This impotent man, it means disabled. It means without strength. So we're not sure if he was crippled. We're not sure. But he had no strength to put himself into this pool. We know that. Jesus starts the conversation. Verse 6 here, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou make me whole? Jesus starts the conversation. Wilt thou be made whole? Now that's quite a strange statement for the Lord Jesus to ask. But if you look at the 24th verse of the same chapter, chapter 5, there's some things that this impotent man needs to do if he is going to be healed. And verse 24 tells us, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there's a couple things there at the beginning of that verse. Hearing and believing. Now this impotent man, as Jesus spoke to him, had to do both of those things. What happens when you share the gospel with someone and it doesn't seem to, they just ignore it? What's happened to that person? What happened to them? They didn't hear, did they? They didn't hear. Well, maybe the Spirit of God is not dealing with their heart. Or maybe the Spirit of God, they're rejecting the Spirit of God. They did not hear. You have to hear. Well, we are the ones to tell. And we just pray that they have the ears to hear. And so this impotent man here has been laying there for 38 years. And Jesus asks this question, Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, hast thou the will to be made whole? Hast thou the will to be made whole is the Greek of that. Did he really want to be healed? That was the question. Well, that's a silly question. 38 years he's laid there. Surely he wants to be healed. How many lost sinners do you talk to? And you tell them about Jesus, but they will not accept Jesus. You see, they don't want to be healed. They don't want to be healed. A lot of sick folks don't realize how sick they are. Now, this man, you would have thought that he surely would have understood that. Do you really want to be healed? And we're asking folks, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? Folks come from the sheep gate to the sheep market, by the pool of Bethesda to the temple. Do you just do your religious act for the week, or do you really want to be saved? You really want to be healed? What a question. Many don't want to be saved. The response that this man made in verse 7, The impotent man answered him, Sir, which means Lord, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I have no man to put me into the pool. This impotent man doesn't know who he's talking to, does he? He doesn't know who he's talking to. And when we're able again to share the gospel and tell someone of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of God touches their heart and deals with their heart, they don't realize who they're talking to. They don't realize it's God Himself is calling them home. He's calling them to trust in Him so that their sins can be forgiven and taken away. They don't realize. And this man didn't either. This man had not witnessed, undoubtedly had not witnessed any miracles that Jesus had performed. Maybe he had not performed any before this area where they could see it. And so again, he says, well, I have no one to put me into the water to take care of it. Well, our Lord does not need help by water or by some certain form of any kind to heal when He chooses to. Please, we need to think about the hundreds, the thousands that cross our paths in our lifetime since we've been saved. They're lost, they're dying, they're sick, that need salvation. Do we watch them go by the sheep gate, by the sheep market, past the pool of Bethesda, and not even see all these people that are laying there? How many hundreds and how many thousands pass by there doing that very act of bringing their sacrifice to the temple through that 38 years? Think about the thousands of people that have passed through that area, and yet never one saw a need to stop and help. This man of 38 years laying there, I would say that he would have every reason to look upon these religious people and call them hypocrites. As he passes by, as they pass by, and he would see so many. Buy the lamb and take the lamb. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. They have no desire to help me or help anyone else. Proverbs 14, 20 and 21. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Yesterday at the funeral service, I used the example. We talked about a day to be born and a day to die. And we talked about the need of having the cross of Calvary between those two locations, between those two events, birth and death. The cross needs to be there. But to us, there is more than just the cross, because you see, when you have folks that need the gospel, you talk about the cross. But for us, from the cross till our death, what do we do? Are we in service? Are we praising God? Are we honoring Him in what we do? Or does our life not have much change from the time we met Jesus to the day we die? There should be a lot of events that took place in honor and glory of our God between the cross and death. We need to be serious and busy. One of the saddest statements in the Scripture. And how many folks are going to be in hell, and they're going to look at me, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to wonder why they didn't tell me about Jesus. What was the statement, the sad statement in the Scripture that we have right here? I have no man to take me and put me in the pool. I've got no one. I've got no one. All these multitudes, the hundreds and thousands of people that have crossed by, all these sick folks on a daily basis, and he said, I have no one. Not one will take the time to spend with me so that as soon as that water is stirred, they will help me into the water so I can be healed. Not one. Is that what your friends and family members are going to say about me and about you? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that I was a sinner and Jesus died for me? Why didn't you tell me? See, we need to be busy about it. You could say, I have no man to help me. You know, I have a question. How did you find salvation? Someone, somewhere, either was praying for you, come by and shared that beautiful old story with you, handed you a track, something. Somebody did something to bring salvation your way. Now we need to be that someone. Maybe it was a preaching of a message that you heard. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher as they taught that you heard the gospel and it touched your heart. Somewhere, sometime, the gospel was presented. James chapter 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We can't save anyone, we know that. But we have the opportunity of giving the gospel. It opens the door that allows the Spirit of God to work. What a glorious day that we live in. Do you know anyone? That would say to you, I have no one to put me into the water when it's troubled? Do we ignore the need to tell them about salvation? And when they don't want to hear it, do we just continue with them and as if, okay, that's okay? It's not okay. They're going to hell. Do we have tears? Do we have prayer for them? Is our heart broken for those folks? Or are we just struggling? Oh, it's okay. You want to go to hell? You can go to hell. Well, you're not much of a friend. We don't have much love for them, do we? We would do such a thing. Maybe you spoke to them several times. They don't want to hear it anymore. Are they in your prayers every night? In your thoughts every day? You see, it's not only our privilege, but it is our command that we tell people about Jesus. Now, very quickly here, and this is where we're going to begin next week. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus spoke and a miracle was performed. Jesus gave a command, rise up, take thy bed and walk. Again, we have no knowledge of any other miracles ever performed. So what made this man rise up and take his bed and walk? What made him do that? You know, 38 years he's laid there. He is waiting for someone to pick him up and put him in the pool, not to tell him to rise up and walk. This man had every reason to say, I can't. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me. I've been here for 38 years. I can't walk. I can't walk. But you see, he did what verse 24 tells us. He that heareth my words and believeth on him. He heard and he believed and he stood up. He heard, he believed, and he stood up. He didn't question the words of the Lord. He did it. And we need to take out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many folks that will listen and will hear and will obey. But we don't take rejection very well. And so when someone rejects it, we just kind of bow our head and go. My friend, if they were lame or if they were sick and we love them and we watch them suffer and we watch them in pain, you would be there and you would do anything and everything you could do to take that pain away. But instead of that, when somebody rejects the gospel, we put our head down and we walk away.
We have got to be serious about telling the gospel. We have got to have a love in our heart and a desire in our heart as we would for someone that's sick. Let's be serious about our work. What a tremendous message here. Take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. What did this man have to do with this healing power? He had to believe and he had to get up. Do we believe in God's healing power? Well, you know, we kind of almost fall into that category of being blind and halt and withered, don't we? That's kind of the way we perform when it comes to the work of God. Are we crippled? No, we're not. We have the power of God, the strength of God. Love these people. Tell these people. Pray for these people. Shed tears for these people. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Our work is going to be over, but the pain and suffering will just begin for those that we didn't reach. We need to be serious about telling the gospel. Let's close with prayer. Father, what precious words. For this man to believe and not question our Lord. He could have remained lame for the rest of his life. He could have stayed in that condition for the rest of his life if he had not believed the Son of God. And that's exactly what happens to a multitude of folks when they do not believe in the Son of God. They stay in that same miserable condition. But Father, you tell us that it's not our responsibility to save them, it's our responsibility to tell them. Tell them. Please, dear Father, touch our hearts. Put a burning in our hearts that we be busy about telling the gospel. Busy about reaching the lost. Busy in service to you. Those that are here, dear Lord, did not know you as their Savior. Oh, that today would be the day that they'll come. I said the same thing at the funeral yesterday. If you ever want to see Ted again, you need to come by faith to Jesus and take care of the problem of sin that you have. It's the same thing now with Dorothy. You ever want to see her again? You best come by faith and be saved. What a wonderful opportunity we have. Free gift of salvation. Please, stir us up. Save the lost. We're here to serve you and to work, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were talking in Sunday school this morning that the most common statement when somebody tells you that they, you say, do you believe? And they says, oh, yes, I believe in God. Well, I gave them something to use, and I says, tell them that the devil also believes. And so then do you believe that the devil's going to be in heaven? Because if the devil believes and you think you're going to heaven because of that, then is the devil going to be there? And most of the time they'll say no. And you'll say, well, then you need to trust in Jesus. That's how you get to heaven. In the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Because you see, the devil believes. The devil believes.